Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows the song, sing along.
Oh, yeah. Anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah, the drum. Everybody, you know, this is a time of year
there's a lot of sun dances and things going on and people heading to Lakota country. Prayer time. I can't believe summer's so far. We're so far into the summer, you know. I was just thinking about some things, you know, like some of the songs, you know. I was remembering, you know, how, you know, in prayer, say, O teki kawa yuhana waji elo, tunkashila, de chamu elo, hey. Tatuya topa, oye, waelo, tunkashila, yani pita cha, de chamu elo, hey. Oyate kile, we chose on this day long. Lila wopila tanka, tunkashila. Lila wopila, mitakuyas. I wanted to think of our people out there right now having prayer. Wana. For everybody, you know? And then some getting ready, having Humblecha on the hill. And I hope you can hear me. Hope you can hear me. I didn't get no. Usually I do a little sound check for some reason, like everything else. I'm always forgetting this and that, but I'm assuming you can hear me. Some things I was thinking about some things, you know, like the way summer's in full swing, and then real quick, it's going to be August already. Once August comes next month, it starts getting cold already. September, October, November, you know. And, you know, life is really something out there in the world. And it's really something right here on the res. You know, what's really bad, what gets me about our people, you know, is how they treat each other, how they beg for you to help them. Then when you help them, they don't like how the help came out, and then they start blaming you, you know? You know, they pull you in, really into stuff without understanding the outcome, how the outcome could be, you know? And they do that all the time, you know? Come drag you on something, you know? Come help me rob a bank. Come do this. Come do that. Come over here. Help me with my house. Help me with this. Help me with that. Fix my car. I know you can do it. You do it for everybody else, you know? Then when you do your best and it fails, you're the one, they get mad at you. Some even got nervous to try and whip out guns and knives on you or something, you know, or act tough or provoke you to do something, you know. And that's really what she chew ways, how they divided us. And most of these people that do that do not even belong to live on the res. They live out in the world and come back and start pushing you around just because they lived out there. You know, our people are simple. You know, don't go out there in the big world and then come over here and start throwing your weight around. You know, oh yeah, I'm tough. You know, I deal with the gang. I'm a gangster or whatever, you know. Our people are simple, you know. I mean, we do the best we can with nothing, you know. We fight nukes with bow and arrows. We don't care, you know. We always seem to be fighting, losing battles all the time, you know. And who do you blame for that? You know, well, I can't blame P people, but I blame how they ended up someplace. And then their world didn't come out so damn good, so they come back over here with all their dreams screwed up, and I want you to fix them up, you know. I don't care. I still help my people, you know. I do my best, and I see people doing their best, you know. But there's a lot of things that happen bad to Indians. And it's not always the white man that's doing it. But the white man is responsible for it because he's got no business being here. No business. He should be on that boat paddling back to Europe instead of sitting over here crying about the border every day. Oh, look, they're coming across the border. Oh, what are we going to do? Biden, you better do something. You Republicans, you Democrats, you better do something. You know, putting razor wire under the water, putting buoys under the Rio Grande so they can't. How wicked are these invasive species? They do these things. And you watch, you look. Go over there and read. Just read some of the things that they do. Just read. Go look at. Just look on the news. Look at all the crimes this invasive species do. I mean, 2 weeks ago, one invasive species murdered his three little boys, made them stand up and shot them with a rifle. Another invasive species put a guy on and crying because he's going to prison. All those invasive species, though, January 6th, attacking the Capitol. I don't care. I'm glad they attacked the Capitol. I'm glad they're at each other's throats. I'm glad they are. But they sure act tough when they're doing this stuff. And then at court, that was just me in a moment. You know, and please, Your Honor, I'm a good man. I go to church every Sunday, you know, and all their baloney, you know. But they're the most wicked. And then the alcohol. They're the biggest alcoholics on earth and got nerve to point a finger at us, you know, because we have some white clay videos or videos of some drunken Indians. But you look at their videos of all their drunk driving videos, getting arrested, being looking stupid, you know, wrecking into people, killing people. Those white girls just killing people, running them over. And, you know, when you kill somebody in a car accident, a drunk driving, that's worse than terrorism. You know, have you ever been in a car wreck? I have. And you know what? A lot of times it's worse than a bomb blowing up in your car. It rips limbs off of people. It smashes brains, smashes lungs, and then people burn up. I had relatives die in car wrecks. The most brutal, more worse than a gun. But these white people, they go to court, and then they got nerve to call it an accident. You know what I mean? Calling it an accident. And then some of them got nerve to say they didn't mean to. You know, one white girl ran into a couple of I quit calling them whites. They ain't white. White's a sacred color. Damn it. Slap yourself for saying that. They're not white. What's white is a beautiful color. White stands for sacred. White stands for clean things, cleanliness. White stands for heaven. White stands for all the good things. What? I'm going to slap myself every time I call them white people because they're not white. They're wicked. They're not just wicked and evil. They're worse than that. The crimes they commit, the things they get involved in, you know, even look at Trump. how come there's 75 million people supporting a criminal? He's not just a accused criminal. He's a real genuine criminal. You know? How could you vote for a criminal? He's on TV saying he stuck his finger in a girl's you-know-what-y. You know? He admits to doing all this stuff. He was a businessman in New York and everything. What's in New York? Biggest mafiosos around. They run everything. He was right in with them. But how do they get that much power? They don't get that much power with just money. They get that much power by putting people on hits and killing them. That's right. Some people need to learn, you know, but people don't even look and see. Or maybe they do, but really they do. Yeah, I'd rather have a thief in there. I need to have a thief president. I need to have a guy who likes to kill black people. I need a guy that wants to get rid of all the Indians, you know. I need to do something. I need to get rid of all the people of color because they're dominating us and they're taking our weapons from us. Look, they're taking our weapons from us. And look, they're invading us. Look at the border. Man, I tell you what, that's the world we live in. And our people fall in that trap. They live out there, those of you who live in the city. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult to live next and rub shoulders with such a demon. I can't think of the word, demon people, you know. You know? Rubbing shoulders with demons every day. I know it's hard. It rubs on you, and then you start turning into a demon, you know. But remember the songs we sing, you know. Some of the simple stuff, you know. Way, hey, 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 oh, hey, oh, oh, hey. Way, oh, hey, oh, hey, hey, oh, hey, oh, little, hey. Way, oh, hey, oh, hey, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey. Waka tanka unshi malanya lo, hey. Maka kishe lo, mami machi, you know, these songs, you know, Wakan Tanka, you know, you're asking the creator, you know, have some sympathy and pity on us. We're pitiful. I hate to use the word pitiful, you know, we're having a real hard time, you know. We're having a hard time here, you know. Have some pity on us. And all we have is this chanupa, you know. And we throw in our voice to you, Harris, you know. Harris, this is all we have. Help us out, you know. You know, we're simple people. Our prayers are simple. They mean a lot. You know, I mean, I like to see people have their way, their own way, instead of calling themselves American. Oh, say, can you see? What kind of battle song is that? You know, what a stupid, wicked song that is. Saluting while the flags fly. You know, and you all think that's great? Well, get the hell out of here. You don't even have a country. You backstab your own country, Britain and England. You come over here and made one up. You're nobody. You're nothing. That flag, that stupid song you sing, everything you have should go back someplace else. Since you don't have a home, where can you go? Where can you go? So you stay here? We can't stand you here, you know? You need to get the hell out of here. You know, kind of drive me crazy thinking about it. I better quit this because I'm starting to go berserk here. You know, starting to go berserk thinking about all the wicked stuff that goes on in this world and how it affects Indian people, how Indian people don't know who to believe or what to believe or anything, you know. Well, I know who to believe, and I know what to believe, and I damn sure don't do research to find out about my people. You know, if I want to learn something about my song, my people, I'll sing a song. And it reminds me where we came from, what's going on, and what we're going to do. You know what I mean? How many of you have a world like that? You don't know what the hell you're going to do. If we ask you what you're going to do, you say, oh, I bet I'm going to get a job. What you going to do? Oh, we better attack Russia. What you going to do? Oh, we better get rid of the black people. Well, no, we need them. They're going to help us get rid of these Mexicans at the border. Yeah, we'll hold on to the blacks a little bit longer. We'll redo the buffalo, the buffalo soldier. You know, we need to, you know. So they do. Look, they got the Secretary of State. Look at him. Big old chip Hasafa, you know. And the country, how it's ran, you know, who's in it, you know. Oh, yeah, they can pull an Indian and put an Indian in there. Okay, let's put an Indian here, but it's got to be a good Indian. They better have some American education. And check their jail record and check them out and just see if they'll go along with this. If they can't go along with this, then you better leave them over there. No, we don't want nothing to do with them. Oh, here? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that name. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, pick that one. Yeah, that one will help us. Pick that one, too. And while you're at it, go pick that gay person. Oh, we need some gays involved in this. And slap some more blacks in here and look for some more Hispanics and throw them in here. And, yeah, let's spread it out so we look good, so we don't look racist. Let's do that. Let's get some more. Is there any space aliens we can pull in on this? No? Cool. Kind of crazy, huh? If you really think about it. You know? 4th of July. What did you do on 4th of July? Well, I didn't do nothing, but, you know, usually 4th of July, it's all about hamburgers and frankfurters. They're over there celebrating their independence. They call it independence, you know? So you celebrate with them, right? Or do you just call it hamburger and frankfurter day, like me? You know, celebrate their independence. Independence from what? Oh, I remember from the King of England, from the Queen of England, or whoever, whatever the heck, yeah. Meniwi Choni. I just had to take a sip of that beautiful water. And, you know, that would cool me down a little bit. You know, maybe I should take another sip because my hair is starting to fringe up here, you know, because I start thinking about all the stuff that goes on in this world and people jump right in on it, you know. Indians jumping in on stuff, you know. They don't know. They always say there's two sides to every story. So I try to listen to both sides sometimes. And sometimes I find out both sides are screwed up. You ever find that out? two sides to every story, but both sides are jacked up, you know. Can't believe them, can't believe them. And you're supposed to say there's two sides to every story. So which side do you believe in? That's just something else, you know. And I look on Facebook, you know, and Twitter and, Instagram, you know. I like to stay off of some of them because I got kicked off of Twitter like 15 years ago, I believe, because I made a comment about something. I forget. Maybe I'll think of it. But it really was no big thing. It probably had something to do with the invasive species, you know. But you know, it was probably true, whatever I was saying, you know. Anyway, I got attacked on Twitter, and boom, they yanked me off of Twitter real quick, like in one day. And I couldn't say much, you know, on Twitter. You're not allowed to rant on, you know. You only got so many letters you can put on in a post. So what the hell did I say in such a short post that upset them so bad that even today I'm still kicked off? What did I do? What did I say? I didn't even use the F word. I know I didn't do that. Thing they don't like, they found out we say Washichu. So they don't like that word. Now I started calling them invasive species for some time, and I noticed other natives are starting to jump in on that and realize what I'm saying for the last year since I've been doing the same radio show, and plus the radio show I did before, Res King International, just show, you know, American Indian Movement. I like to represent the American Indian Movement in a way, the way Russell Means, Dennis Banks, and the Lakotas, how it started. You know, all the newbie AIM people, they don't even know. I heard them arguing about who made the AIM song. They said, oh, we stole it from some Montana group or some group from the East or West or whatever. You know, I could play a sound thing right now, but I don't want to play it because I'm too involved in just talking right now, you know. Maybe I'll share it a little bit later. But the person who made the AIM song, Tyrone Head, this right down here, down right on the Rosebud Ready, lives over there by Spring Creek, and Siebert Young Bear. And Ted Means. Nobody knows Ted Means, Russell's brother. He was a special guy. Loved him to death. You know, he wasn't, you know, he was one that nobody even really paid attention to, Ted Means. But this guy was one of the singers, could sing. And these guys sang. And we're talking about 1970s, right? Early 1970s, 69, 68, when AIM was formed. And, of course, people think it was the Minneapolis tribes had something to do with it. Well, let me kind of say everybody had something to do with it. But the police, let's keep this in mind. The police were over there, and Indians, beating up Indians, walking down the street, or when they go camping. You know, it's our right to camp. You know, we're Indians, damn it. You know, go to Minneapolis, they ain't got money for a motel. Let's go camp. Let's whip out the teepee. Let's whip out the little tent, you know. Cops come around, start bullying us. Start, you know, accusing us of being drunks or whatever. If some Indians are sitting on the corner right away, they're drunk Indians. They don't know they're just sitting there. you know? Anyway, long story short, they're picking on Indians in Minneapolis. So Lakotas always sat and sang on the drum. And Dennis Banks was talking about this one day, and I was sitting there looking at him, and I seen Clyde Valcourt was right there. Russ Tolines was right there. Dennis Banks was talking. Let me see. Clyde, Russell. Oh, Carter Camp was there. Yeah. And a lot of the Amesters from over here, our Lakota Amesters, they were there. And a few from other tribes, you know. Dennis Banks was talking about how they were sitting in an old trailer house in the coals in Porcupine, South Dakota, singing on a drum to keep warm. Him and Ted Means. He said this, him and Ted Means. They were sitting there singing on a drum. And I was watching Clyde and all of them in the background. No, none of them disputed this, what Dennis Banks was saying. None of them said, hey, that's a lie, or jumped in. When he was talking, everybody was paying attention. And he said that. They were sitting on a drum, and it was cold. And pretty soon, someone knocked on the door to open it. It was a cop. What's going on? A loud noise. Indians in the house singing Lakota. They must be drunk, someone reported. Man, you know, these all sneaked out there, you know. It was cold outside. Yeah. You know, so, oh, he goes in, and they're singing. So he kind of down there. Then he takes off. He comes back, changes clothes, and comes in and starts singing with them. Then, you know, so they always were singing in that trailer. Anyway, that's how Lakotas did it. We're talking about 1967, 68, right? Now, many of you weren't alive in 1967, you know, 1965. Many of you weren't. So you cannot even understand how much racism we had in those days. You can't understand it. Wherever we went, there was racism. So Indians all over the country couldn't even be Indian. Some of them were saying they're Mexican. Some even said they're a Jew because they're dark. They were claiming every race so that way they could get a job. So that way they could, nobody could pick on them because they used to pick on you. Woo! They used to do that. We moved to California. They used to do that in front of our house. Throw rocks. Try to bust our windows with my dad. So car was all beat up as it was and they were throwing rocks at it. Couldn't even tell it was so beat up, but, you know, that's what they were doing. That was racist. It was a shame to let it be known you're Native, you're Lakota. And my dad and my mom wouldn't let me be ashamed of that. They still talked Lakota in the house. We still ate boo-boo bread and soup, you know, and lived like a Lakota. We still did that, no matter what. None of the other tribes did that, though. All the other tribes gave up their ways. They started being white man. They all had short hair. They were all, look at some of those AIM photos, if you don't believe me. Look at, there's some old AIM photos. Look around at some of those guys. You know them. They all had short hair, you know? They all had short hair. They were all dressing, you know, trying to look Washichu, you know? Trying to conceal, you know, blend in, you know? So anyway, that's how it was. It was really bad. So there was no drum groups in Montana. I wasn't in Montana. In Montana, they was dressed like cowboys. They got into cowboy groove, Montana Indians, you know, I'm talking back in the 50s and 60s. Now, right now, probably a different story. It is, because now you see long hair braids and this and that all over, even down in Navajo country, wherever you go. It changed. Who changed it? American Indian Movement. So anyway, so with that being said, think about this. Who made the AIM song? Well, Bill Means said right here, he even says it. Ted Means, Siebert Youngbear, Tyrone Head made the AIM song. And we're talking about 1968, 69, 70, and then when it didn't just show up, the AIM song. The AIM song was already there. But it came out at a certain time. You know, when the white man murdered an Indian, they sang the song, came out with it. And like I said, it was made by Lakota. Listen to the AIM song. It was made by Lakota. I ain't sitting here trying to boast or brag and say, you know, people always get on, say, you Lakotas act like you're God. You act like you're the creator of everything. You act like this. You act like that. You think you're so good. We're not. We're humble people. I mean, look at me. You hear my dogs howling outside. You know, what's going on out there? You know, we're humble people, you know. We got things going on. That's a cop chasing someone around, or an ambulance, or no telling what it is, you know. One time I was doing the AIM show, and there was a car burning up right out on the road. Kind of looked out, and there's a bunch of red lights out there, you know. But we're not, you know, Dakotas, we live for come. You know, who will come? Come to my house. I don't live in no mansion. Come, we're pitiful people, but we get accused of everything, but telling you the truth. And I believe this because I know Ted Means, I know Siebert Youngbear. You know, those guys were good. Siebert's sons, Siebert's daughter comes on this radio show once in a while, you know, and Siebert's sons, they had the Porcupine Singers. You know, and they've been going for a long time, you know. Siebert Jr., Malvin and them, you know. If you knew how Lakotas lived back in the 50s, the 60s, and 70s, when everybody else quit being Indian, you would believe what I'm telling you. Anyway, so these Indians were singing in the trailer, and Dennis Banks knew Clyde, and, you know, Dennis Banks was all over. So was Russell. Russell was on the West Coast all the time, you know. I mean, he was down my aunt's house, my mom's sister. You know, we lived in California. We seen everybody coming through, you know. Lakota stopped at our house. So they showed up. So from being in California and traveling around, they knew lots of people, right? So when all this stuff was going on in Minnesota, one day Dennis told the brothers, you know, this was before they called themselves AIM, before American Indian Movement. Let's go. They're picking on the Indians in Minnesota. Let's go over there. Let's throw down. Let's stop this injustice. Boom. Lakotas, Dennis Banks, and since they knew people, they got in touch. We didn't have cell phones back in them days, so however they did it. But they got people from all over the country to show up to Minnesota. And they went to Minnesota, and nobody had ever seen this action coming down. Indians walking down the street with drums, singing, not being ashamed to sing with a drum, walking down the boulevard in Minneapolis, singing Lakota songs, singing. And people that didn't know these songs just sang with them, learned them, you know. They brought pride to the people. All the people that was getting picked on, the homeless and stuff, they jumped in on the march, and they were so proud. These are my people. Look at, and they, you know, and then it took off. The drum was no longer a shame. Sean Sega was no longer a shame. They sang, use this drum wherever they went. When they went to Washington, D.C., when they went to Plymouth Rock, when they went to Alcatraz, when they went all over, when they went to Palestine, when they went to Cuba, when they went to South America and Central America, they took the drum. These Lakotas and the American Indian Movement. And that's how the American Indian Movement came about in Minnesota. It wasn't because those guys over there made it. It was everybody showed up in Minnesota. So we can't give credit to just one tribe of people. And I'm not saying Lakota should take the credit for American Indian Movement, because they weren't jealous. Nobody, you know, when they had their meetings and it got so powerful there, it happened to be in Minnesota. American Indian Movement. They didn't call it that because they liked the name American. You need to understand that. They named it that in a way to slap the face of the Washichu. Washichu said, oh, they're using our name, American. These savages. They're calling themselves American. Ho, ho. You know what I mean? That's why they did it. They didn't name American in the movement because they liked the name American. They did it to slap them in the face and said, you know what? We're here. Get the hell out of our way. And that's the American Indian Movement. And if you don't believe that story, you know, come on, let's talk. 657-383-1271. Let me hear what you got to say. Let me say if you believe that or you don't believe it. Let me hear you tell me who made the AIM song. Let me hear some names. Let's go check it out. I don't need to check it out because I know the guys. I know these relatives of mine, blood relatives of mine. You know, we're all, most Lakotas, we're hooked up blood, you know. And,
Hey, Wombly.
I'm proud of that. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, it's Wayne here. Hey, I don't think you'll get any calls because everyone knows you're right.
Well,
it's true.
A lot of people will know I'm right, but they want, you see, it got so far out of hand that, like, when I started hearing the Minnesota people, and I'm not attacking Minnesota tribes, I'm talking about certain individuals. I could say their name if I want, you know, because I heard it with my own ears. But they were saying, oh, he's the last living founder of the American Indian Movement. Baloney. You know, because when this was going on, Kodog was still alive. Bill Means still alive. Bill Means lives over there. There's a whole bunch of others still alive that started the American Indian Movement. Not just this guy. Not just that guy. You know? That's what gets me. Oh. Yeah, the last living legend of the American Indian Movement, baloney. We cannot give one man all the credit for anything. We can't adore one man. We can't adore and hold one person so damn high. Because think about it. We're indigenous natives. We're humble people. Nobody is our leaders. We don't have generals. But I see these AIM chapters. I'm Sergeant Arms. I'm Treasurer. I'm Secretary. You know, what kind of names is that for Indigenous group? You know, a cop. I tell you why. Because you went over there to Washington, D.C. and made and trademarked it and made it an American organization. But those of us from the American Indian Movement that know better didn't do that and not going to do that and not going to recognize that baloney. Because you know what? Once you do that, then what is a bunch of Orientals, Asians, or Blacks, or Italians, or Yugoslavians, or anybody else comes over and says, oh, we're starting an AIM chapter. We need to get in. And you tell them, no, you can't get in. It's only Indians allowed. What's going to happen? The government, since you went and organized it with the government, they're going to say, hey, you can't be racist. No discrimination. Everybody's equal. Your organization out. They'll take your number. Am I right or wrong? Am I right or wrong?
You're right. I know you're right. Where's all the callers at?
Because that's the truth. If you start a group, go get a 501 or any kind of group, and get it, authorized by the U.S. government, you got to comply with their rules. And their biggest rule is this. Anybody can be a member of anything that you put down on paper and get stamped by the American government. Anybody. You know, once you do that, you open the door. So the rest, most of the Apesers, you know, we stick to the traditional side of it. How with all that government side, you know, because we're indigenous people. I'm not saying you can't walk with us, you can't stroll with us, you can't sing with us, you can't be with us, you can't join with us, you can't fall in love with us. I'm saying this, the American Indian Movement is an indigenous, native, indigenous, I hate to call it a group, but it's a movement. You know, it's a movement. And it's not an organization. So those people over there with all their little rules, president, director, whatever the hell you want to be, forget it. We are all equal. You, me, all you listeners out there. And remember, that AIM logo was there before they trademarked it. Once they trademarked it, they think they can stop you from wearing it. Well, that's thieving. You don't thieve. You don't say, this is mine, when you didn't make it. You don't say, this is mine, when you didn't make it. Oh, you trademarked the American Indian Movement, the name American Indian Movement. Who the hell trademarked it? You don't own it. You didn't make that name. We know how the name developed. So, but you're going to go fool everybody around there, everybody and have your little chapters, and then you're going to discriminate on other Indians. I seen them discriminated on Canadians. Canadians. They're not Canadians. They're our relatives, Lakotas, Crees, our relatives. We come from all north, all the way to the south. They better remember, they even call South America, America, Central America. North America. So when they sing that song, America, America, Who are they singing about? Huh? Mexicans are from America. Guatemalans, they're Americans. Peruvians, Argentinians, Brazilians. They're all Americans. So that song applies to everybody. And that's why when they made the American Indian Movement, the name, it really peed them off. You understand why we're called the American Indian Movement now? Understand it? Because it peed them off. Just like if the Mexican cartel say, we're American too. Well, look on the map. We're from North America. El Salvador is. Hey, we're Americans too. Look, you said we're Central Americans. Colombians. Oh, we're Americans. What's the difference? So when Ray Charles is singing, America, sweet, sweet, sweet America. You know, he's thinking about you too, Colombians, Argentinians, El Salvadorians, all our indigenous people, all up and down, out there in the islands, Puerto Rico, Trinidad, all them islands. It was Hawaii. You know, I like that one girl. I forget her name, you know, because I always forget names. But she has a video that says, we are not Americans. We are not Americans, she told her people that. Anyway, any of you guys can jump in anytime you want, you know. You think I'm talking too much. But, you know, you're welcome to join in and scold me if you want, you know. Calm me down, you know. Scratch my tick. I don't mean like that, but you know how you scratch a dog and it calms down. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just going berserk, you know. I miss my Tanashi. He would have came in and took me away from this, and he went off. You know, I miss Tanashi Bimber because, you know, he leads us off in a good prayer. And he explains things in the spiritual way, you know, and all this. And I try to explain things in the spiritual way the best I can. But also, I'm like, I don't know what you call it, anti-politic or politician. Or, you know, I'm against all that politics and all that, all them rules that they put on the Constitution and all that. And then they say that they made the Constitution from the Seneca. They copied. I don't even believe that because, excuse me, indigenous people, natives, all over that I know, before they got colonized, they never had a leader. The Americans call them a leader. We had spiritual people, elders. We had young guys who were better fighters, you know, and better hunters. But we all lived in the same way, like Lakotas. We lived in a community with teepees, you know. Well, one teepee wasn't filled with gold, you know, and taller than the other. If it was bigger than the others, because he had more wives or something like that, more kids, you know. But we were all equal. We never thought of each other as being above each other. You know, it's hard for the white man to grab. Here I go, bap, slappy, slappy, bap, slappy some more, bap. Slappy somewhere. Quit calling them white now. They're not white. White's beautiful. They're not. Put that. Anyway, where was I? They got to have a leader. You know, they got to live with somebody that they lick the feet. They got to have somebody they can go up and run their tongue between their toes, you know, in public. Well, we weren't like that. No indigenous tribes ever was like that. And we didn't running around beating our women and all that stuff and making it look like, that's why we don't like that word squaw, because they make it look like when they point at a person a squaw, that's a little a slave of a woman. And that's not true with our Lakota women. I tell you that to know what I'm talking about. And same way with other tribes. But when once you leave our societies and go out there, then you got the man. Oh, that big old man. That guy who thinks he's the president. That guy who thinks he's the general. That guy who thinks he's the czar, the dictator, the king, and all that stuff. You know? They believe that. And the women have no place. Yeah, they had their queens. You know? They had their queens. But that's kind of a rare thing. But an average woman was always placed really low in their societies, really low. All she was a dishwasher, a sewer, and gave birth to kids. You know, basically a piece of meat. You know, that's all she was. And it was 1925 or someplace around there. I'm not good on dates because I didn't live then and don't care about that. But from what I understand, somewhere around there was when they finally acknowledged their invasive species women to let them vote, to call them, you know, to say they're allowed them to be called American too, you know. Before that, so think back, how long ago was that? 1925, so we're 2023, so 98 years ago, a woman was still nothing with that Washichu man. A woman was nothing. Well, 98 years ago, you know, their women were nothing. But with us, women are special from the get-go. My mama, my mother, my Unchi, you know, they were the ones who taught us. They taught us songs. They taught us everything. They taught us prayers. I mean, I used to sit with my grandma, and she'd be sewing away but singing Lakota song. Whatever she did, or sometimes she just outright prayed, you know. I learned all these things from her. Wakam Sanka. Gashila. I learned that. I didn't learn that from them Catholics because I was being taught that Wakam Sanka, Tokashila, cared for us and made us, was the creator of all things and blessed us with everything. Now, step over on the other side because the Catholics came and next thing I was baptized. Me, I'm a baptized Catholic for your information. But I don't go there. I even made my first communion. You know why I made my first communion? Because that day they gave us all chocolate milk and donuts. I did it for the chocolate milk and donuts. Because they waked us up in the morning. Whenever we had a Catholic event, they waked us up in the morning. And after they woke us up, they huddled us into a place and gave us chocolate milk and donuts. You know? To appease the little Indians. So we didn't know no better. You know, then our mom and dads and everybody going to Catholic school. Then they come home and talk Indian, but as soon as the white guy comes, they have to talk English because they might get whipped off. You know, so that's how that was. So we did not, myself and my brothers, you know, we listened to our grandma, our moms. They're the ones who taught us how to appreciate Wakam Sanka. You know, they're the ones who taught us. We didn't need no Ten Commandments. We knew what was right and what's wrong. Because inside of us, inside of our brain, inside of our makeup, deep down inside of our soul, there's something that tells us that's wrong, don't do it. There's a shame that engulfs us. That's why we don't think about mating with our mother like they do, mating with our daughter like they do, you know, bestiality like they do, you know, incest like they do. Came over in a Mayflower 60 deep or 50 deep and suddenly turned into 300 million. That's a lot of incest they was doing in breeding that quick. And then now there's only supposedly 5 million of us. They killed off 300 million of us. Won't let us. Even 19, I have relatives who they made where they couldn't have babies, you know. Anyway, that's a sorry way to live, and then to be loyal to these people, to this person. You know, like last week, some Indian was mad because somebody sold paint on Thomas Jefferson's face up in Rapid City, a statue of Thomas Jefferson. If you go up to Rapid City, every corner is a president's statue. You know, they had one. I bet they got one of Trump up there now. Probably do. I haven't been up there in a couple of years, you know, so I don't know. But I'm assuming that they got a photo, because they got one of Obama. Whoever did this was pretty good. You know, they look pretty resemble these presidents, you know. You know, I mean, I know to make someone like Trump just throw a pumpkin on a pole, you know, that's easy. Perfect resemblance. Anyway, this Indian got mad, and he made a post. I'm a business owner, you know, because he opened up a little shop up next to the Washichus. But you always hear him crying around about how nobody helps him. How come everybody gets help with him, but suddenly, to sound good, he's over there saying, defending people, saying, he said they should go to jail. Then they say an Indian did it, you know. But what I'm saying is, that sure is, you know, a lost person. And then the same line say, I'm making us all look bad. He's making us all look bad by throwing red paint on Thomas Jefferson. How's that making me look bad? How? I seen some other posts of some like, go through some, say, I like it. You know, we don't care about, I don't care about them. You know, I walked up in Rapid City a million times. I always see them statues up there. I just walk past them. I don't think nothing of them. I walk by live, real Washichu people. Don't think nothing of them. Just walk past them and go about my business. You know, I learned to survive and walk through that maze or whatever you want to call it of invasive species and every symbol they have to remind each other that they're powerful. The great American, that flag, which flies in our tribal offices, which flies in people's homes, Indians' homes, you know, they do that. I mentioned Stockholm Syndrome. He said, I'm not no Stockholm Syndrome. I certainly can't tell. You know, he probably, if he heard this, someone will probably snitch me off and, you know, then we'll be having a feud. Because that's what happens, right? When one of us, when we start defending the Washichu, that's division. When some of us start walking on the invasive species side, That's division. Because us over here, we're saying, damn, what's wrong with that guy? And what's cool is there's even traditional natives and everything. And I smell a fish over there in the tank over there. I smell a creep, you know. Somebody that just don't want to give up, you know. That's how they are. Well, she don't want to kick them out, but they still come crawling back. Still want, you know, and come back and say stuff, you know. Well, maybe somebody will see it and go over there and don't come again like they usually do. But it'd be back. Me, if I know somebody don't like me, I stay away from them. I don't even go there. I go the other way, you know. That's why these Washichu, they live on all this land here, like down there in Nebraska, like over there in Valentine and Rushville and all that. Yeah, they live down there. I don't go down there because I know they don't like me. I know they hate my guts, you know. So why am I going to go down there? So if there's a radio show that hates my guts, why would I go over there to try and get in or call them names? And I'm a grown adult man. A grown adult man. Why would I do that? So that's because there's a lack of brain development in those Americans, in those Christians, those Washichu. There's a lack of brain development. Their brain haven't fully developed, and their color haven't fully developed too. That's why our ancestors, they first seen them, they call them pale face. That's why I don't call them white, because they're not white. They're kind of pinkish, kind of oranges. They kind of have some kind of strange, you know. I mean, I hate to make fun of people, but it seemed like every time I turn around, this certain group of people is out there doing stuff, you know. Right now, on the reservations, I was up there in Kyle the other day, Porcupine, you know, my own stomping grounds and all that. And they got all these Christian groups, and they loading up their vans with Indian kids, taking them all over, looking like they're helping. They're being good to Indians. That's good. I mean, I like it. These kids need a free hot dog, need a free lunch, you know, need a free soda, potato chips, and, you know, a day. There's a good side to it, don't get me wrong, because they pick up all these Indians that probably don't know each other that good, even though they're related, put them in a van, now they're together, so they're getting some Indians, some unity there, so I could see some good in that. But these people, how did they get that nice van? How did they get a life better than us? Well, it's like this. In order for them to have a loaf of bread, they use Indian flour that grows on Indian land. You know, wheat, all that. So that loaf of bread ain't even theirs. It belongs to us. But they give us a slice of bread, and they think they're giving us charity. And they keep the rest of the bread. You know, they call it charity. So, you know, although I say, yeah, you know, I like to see our Indian kids happy, our Lakota kids, and they look happy. You know, they have games and stuff. I watch them. They show them how to have games, you know, and... You know, these are good things, but don't go around expecting me to pat you on the back for being a thief. Because you stole that idea from me, but you got more money to do it than me. I don't have a nice van to run around and pick up our Indian kids and give them hot dogs and everything all day. The way we do it, right now there's sun dances going on. And there's the sun dances. Learning how to pray, learning how to sacrifice, learning the meaning and the gift of Wakantanka in our cultures. And they're coming from all over the world. They're pulling in a white Christian van. You know. I mean, yeah, it's all right. I see one of those white Christian guys walking with a group of young Indian girls. I kind of thought he was kind of one and one. He had a guitar on his back, and they sat down over there by the tree and strumming away. I said, I was wondering if he's playing some rock and roll or something, but then all of a sudden I heard, oh, Lord, thy God, love will do, 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 do. You know, and I thought, oh. You know, so I kind of felt kind of odd there. I kind of jumped out, you know. I said, you know what? I said, I'm wondering how come, let me see. I'm wondering how come people think they get the wrong idea that they're helping us. You know, our people are doing it without their help. People are having sun dances right now. They're coming. I mean, there's people come to my house all the way from New Jersey, bring their young people. They brought kids come down from Columbia and all that to go to a sun dance next week's Crow Dogs and all that happening, you know. Keith Horse Lookins, all these sun dances are going. Rick Two Dogs is having his right now. You know, I mean, these sun dances are happening right now. People are coming in from all over the world. You know?
There's a bunch,
and
there's
we
a
don't
bunch
do
happening
it.
Up in Canada right now, too. I saw my friend David Blacksmith is going to one in Ontario right now.
Yeah, well. You see, because that's our culture, and I'm glad they're doing it, you know. And once again, I don't want to take blame or take credit for some, but Canada, they lost their culture. I mean, and we went up there. Here I go again, sound like I'm bragging, and helped them start sun dances up there. Why did this happen? Because they're natives, and one of them had a dream that he was out in the ocean or some lake and up there, and here a spear came out of the water and hit him in the chest. It stabbed him in the chest. It was a fish bone. Instead of him hooking the fish, a fishbone came up and landed in his chest, you know, and it freaked them out. You know, they went and pulled out this fishbone, and they didn't know what to do. What the heck happened here? Why did this happen? And some old guy said, you know what? Go down to South Dakota, go to our relatives down there. And have a ceremony and tell him what happened. So he did. That's a ceremony. And here they said that was their form of having a Sundance dream getting pierced. Because they live with fish, you know what I mean? So he Sundanced with our people. This happened like 40, 50 years ago or something. So they went back up to Canada. And that was when they started the Sundance over there where he's at. And then my people went up to Canada and helped them start a bunch, because they came down to our Sundance and Sundance with us. And we went up there, not me, I didn't go with those guys, but they started Sundance up there, you know. And that's when I started, you know, that's when I really got started knowing about the you know, about our Dakota relatives in Dakota, you know, because they talk Dakota language. And we talk Dakota. I don't know if we ever told you this, the difference in it, you know. But these guys came down and they're talking Lakota. I mean, in our language, but it sounded kind of strange to us, you know. Lita Wopida Tunka. They kind of say it fast. Lita Wopida Tunka. Wopida. Lita Wopida Tunka, you know. And we're saying, wow. And they're calling me Deck Sheep. Deck Sheep? What's he calling me Deck Sheep for? You know. But I start, you know, because I myself was kind of not too used to. I knew we had different dialects, but I didn't. Suddenly it's popping up, you know. I'm talking about years ago, okay? So, and I got more acquainted with the other dialects, you know, Nakota, Lakota, Dakota. So we talk in different dialects, but the only difference is they use the D, we use the L, you know, and stuff like that. And it's like if we say Honolulu, you got it, and they say Honadudu, you know, they use the D. That's just an example, I'm saying, you know. And,
right.
So a lot of this, I don't want to trying to act like, here I go again, trying to put Lakota on a pedestal. But that's what this Canadian, I hate calling them that because that's not Canada either, but our relative up there, that's what he told me of why and how they started to Sundance in his, where he's at. He told me this, you know, word of mouth, why, how they got there. And that's why when he seen I was Lakota, he hugged me and everything and said, thank you. Thank your people for helping us get our act together. Because when you lose your culture, you lost your act. You know what I mean? And it's hard to get back together. You know, I was laying under the sun in the arbor at Sundance, and next to me was an Apache guy. I won't say his name. But he always laid next to me. He liked to hang out with me at Sundance because we're always teasing Lakota, you know. We always like to tease, even under severe. We don't get no water up there at that Sundance. I tell you, we're hurting. So our way of getting through pain, Lakotas are always teasing. Some of you might hear us tease on this radio show a lot, and you might think we're sick or pervs or whatever. Be the way when Tahashi and other Lakotas get on here, how we tease, you know, or it might be a, you know, I heard they call it black jokes or dark jokes or, you know, but we always laugh and tease, you know, and this guy always hung out with me at Sundance. When I lay down in the arbor, he's always there laughing when we were talking, you know, and I told him, what the hell are you doing here laying under this hot sun with a bunch of Lakotas, thirsty and no water, no eating? And when you go to ceremony, you're eating dog with us. What the hell's wrong with you? You know, I told him that. And, you know, I kind of teased him, and he laughed. He said, you know, he said, let me tell you, he's Apache. He lives down there in Tucson. He wanted to be an actor. He did act in some movies, you know. He acted in some, I'll tell you, they call him Red Eagle. You know? So he acted in some movies. Anyway, he said his people there, they didn't have no, he wanted to feel native again. He wanted to feel Indian. But it's like, even though he growed his hair long and all that, and he looks dark as hell, he still wasn't getting it, you know. And when he talks to his own people, they're talking English and they're all Americanized and all that. And he wanted to be native. He wanted to be indigenous, and he didn't know what to do. But for some reason, Wakantanka grabbed him and pulled him up to Lakota country. Before that, he got a job at the juvenile detention center there in Tucson, and there was Indian kids in there, and they hated him, you know, because they called him a traitor because he was like a cop to them, being in that detention. You know, I don't blame him, you know. I would call him a cop too. You know, here we are locked up, and here you are running around being a cop. So they were against him. He came up at Sundance with us in his very first year. He pierced and did all that stuff. He said he felt the suffering so hard. Because I seen him, he was laying next to me. He was really having a hard time. You know, one time he broke down in tears. He even told me, he said, I almost can't take it no more. I said, man, you can take it. I said, look at you, you can take it. You know, I started teasing him again. Even poked him in the ribs. You can take it, you know. And he said, I don't know how you Lakotas can do all this. I don't know how you can do it. I said, hang in there. You're doing it too. You're going to be done with this. And tomorrow night, you're going to be drink all the water you want. You can go dive in it if you want. So anyway, he came out of Sundance, right? You know, then he went home. The next year, he shows up again. And he started telling me, you know what? When he went home feeling so blessed, so gifted, for feeling Wakantanka. And he said, I don't care that it came from Lakota and I'm Apache. He said, I didn't want to impose in Lakota way, but I'm so happy to meet all of you. And I'm so happy to be in this circle with all of you. I'm so proud of it. He said, I went back and I went to, he said, his first day on the job, he was walking around. He said, them Indian kids at the school seen something different in him, and there they started giving him some respect. They started, you know, showing him respect. And after 4 or 5 years of Sundance, they looked up to him. They didn't look at him as a cop. They looked at him as somebody that was, I don't know the big fancy word for this kind of stuff. They looked at him as somebody that was achieving. Is that a right word? Achieving?
Yeah.
He was achieving. And he was being a good man. And the facility, the juvenile facility, allowed him to present more Native stuff as an officer, a guard. They gave him more authority to do different things. So he started doing classes, indigenous classes, and in spiritual, you know, being more, teaching them more about our way of life. And it helped him. So he gained the respect of all these kids. That's just one example. You know, and then I look at my Oklahoma Apache bros that come up and dance with us. I really like them guys because they talk, you know, they talk with that accent. Man, I'm scared, petrified, he said. Pierced up, getting ready to break up, and I'm scared, petrified. You know, they don't call sage. They call it fige. I got to fix my fige, you know. But they're beautiful people. I went down there and sweat with them. They're singing Lakota songs. Even their kids are singing Lakota songs. But they gained their culture back. And now the one guy, my bro, the one I love the most of them guys, I love them all, but this one guy goes, he sings Lakota songs, but now he's starting to sing Apache songs in his sweat. Because from doing this, he got a better grasp of his own culture. He realized the way to learn Lakota is learn these songs and learn our prayers and learn things like me. I lost the language, but I started learning it back from songs and, you know, things like that. To tell you the truth, you want to learn another language, learn their songs. I'm serious, you know. I learned better Spanish from singing Spanish songs. I even sang a German song, quiet as it gets, in German, you know. And to learn other culture songs, I got interested in language. Because language is a toolbox that makes up the logics that help the world operate. You know what I mean? This world is not big, but yet it's big. In order for this world to operate, Wakantanka was brilliant. You can't fix a car with just a screwdriver. You need a variety of tools to fix a car. You got to have a toolbox full of tools to operate, to make things work. And he did this. He didn't put us on this earth to talk one language and only have one logic. Each language has a separate logic, and this logic operates something special on earth with the people, with the population of people. Every culture is something. Every culture is like a tool that keeps the world moving in a good way. But what is destroying the world? What is destroying the world? You got these Washichu trying to change that, make everybody be just be a flathead screwdriver. They don't want us to be different tools. They want us to be one stupid tool, only talk one language, you know, get one education. I'm telling the world right now, those of you from out in the world that are tuned into us, keep your language. Don't learn English, because once you learn English, you're going to be stupid and you ain't going to learn nothing else. I know this for a fact, because once I learned English, it was hard for me to regain mine back. Once I see people learn English, they even forget their own language, and they forget their own logic. And we need all these different logics. You don't understand because you're speaking English. But if you speak your own language, you will understand. You will see that a tree is not a tree no more. It's another person. You will see that animal that you're shooting at is not an animal. It's your relative. The reason why you go out hunting lions and stuff for trophies is because they speak English, because they're stupid. That lion is our relative. The tiger is our relative. The eagle, that majestic eagle.
Yeah, I wanted to touch base on a couple things here. I wanted to go back to what you were mentioning earlier about this this border floats that are in the river in Rio Grande, this made-up border. I was checking out some programs, and they were talking about it. And, the state of Texas, they actually violating federal law. They never got permission from the Army Corps of Engineers to put those buoys in the water. Number two, the federal law specifically states that there can be no barriers in waterways. And so I guess that their president is going after Texas for violating this federal law. That Texas governor is, saying, okay, well, we'll see you in court, Mr. President. Well, I got a funny feeling that this Texas governor is going to lose. Blatantly violating federal law. But I also wanted to touch base on something else that's going on down in Juniper, Florida. And I wish Layla was on right now because, this is taking place like several miles down the road from where she lives. And that's this Juniper City Council had voted to go ahead and allow development on this site where it's a known historical site for the Seminole. I was watching a live video from Sheridan Gosta Murphy, who's with AIM Florida down there, and he was at the city council meeting, and I got to hand it to some of the council members that voted against allowing this development to take place, because they were going not only by the wishes of Florida AIM and the Seminole Nation and the State Archaeology, Historical Archaeology Board, saying that, they were kind of wanting to compromise a little bit on it and allow some development on it, but not on the 4 acres, I guess, 4 of the 10 acres that actually hold the site. But what the State Archaeology Board was saying was, well, we need to protect the entire site because we know for a fact that there's remains in this particular spot, you know, on the 4 acres. That's not telling us that there aren't any more burial sites on the rest of that 10 acres. So the vice mayor made her statement and got a lot of applause from the natives that were in attendance there, including with the AIM members that were there. I tried to get Sheridan to come on to the show. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it on tonight because I told him, I said, you know, I'll mention it, what's going on down there in Juniper. But I think, you know, the boots that are on the ground there that are fighting to protect this site, you know, should be heard. So he may be on next week. But it's he had several videos out there that I actually shared on our page of what was going on and some of the news articles. And they're basically, the city of Juniper, Florida, is basically violating federal laws that protects it. And they're also violating state law that protects it, that's supposed to protect it. So I don't know if this is going to end up in a lawsuit against the city of Juniper. I'm pretty sure that it's probably going to happen. The other thing, you know, one of the statements by one of the city council members, there were actually three, maybe four that were against developing it at all. But the one had a pretty good idea for the city of Juniper to actually purchase the property from the developer and protect the entire thing and turn it into a more like a tourist attraction almost, and an educational area where people could learn about the natives that were the original inhabitants there. It was really good to hear these people, and you know, there were of European descent that were siding with the natives on the issue. You know, the council members that were able to speak before the vote was taken, and right after it was taken, oh my God, Sheridan was yelling at the council president. Other people were yelling at him, you know, telling him, you know, you're a white supremacist. How would you like it if we came and dug up your ancestors? And apparently they were escorted out of the city council chambers. I just really hope that some chapters can get together. I'm going to be speaking with Sheridan hopefully tomorrow, and see if there's anything that we can do, that our chapter can do to help support them guys down there. I found it kind of strange that, you know, that Sheridan asked for forgiveness for not being organized as he had hoped in trying to protect the site. And look, we can only do what we can do. And I think, you know, him being there and being at the city council meetings and then, you know, going over and creating a video of what the site is and where the markers are was really good. It was really informative. Now, I've been down to Juniper, and I had seen the site before. I just didn't realize that, you know, it's a possibility that the site is actually bigger than what it's than what they have marked there. And if there's anything that I can do to get down there to help them guys, you know, I'd be more than happy to try to do that. But, that chapter and all the natives down there definitely need everybody's support.
Well, you know, the one thing I learned from years, working with the law legal system really takes a damn long time. Activism is usually quick. You know, it's faster. I mean, sometimes it don't work, but it gets the point across. And activism is important. And when you're doing something, you know, I mean, I see this all the time. And, you know, just like we, you, myself, Wayne, and many others have been on this radio show or this program for a lot of years now. And when we want something to happen or when people want something to happen, they get the word out. And you don't get now easy and say, well, I ain't going to put it on that show. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to go to Wombley and Phillip. You know, that ain't how you do it. You get your word out however you can. You participate in any means necessary. And I hope they do everything they can to get support, because support ain't going to come to you unless you have the awareness. Now, by you bringing it up to me or to us here, we're aware when I wasn't aware, you know, but you brought it up. And now that you're aware, even our buddy racist that comes over trying to like hell to get back in here, even him, he's aware, you know.
Yeah.
You hear that, Gibson? You know, go down there to Florida and set them straight, you know. Tell your people to lay off. Anyway, but you see, it's good to represent this, so I'm happy you did. And I would like to know more about it, and I think not just me, but listeners, our listeners need to learn more about how things go on, how we're treated, not just us, how they treat our symbols of freedom, our symbols of spirituality, our symbols of culture, our way of defending Unchi Maka, you know? You know, they need to know. People need to know that, you know, and join in on that. But
yeah,
the only way to do it is tune in. But of course, I don't blame people if they get mad at me or I ain't going over there. Those guys, you know, like that one time, Dave Ortiz was trying to boycott this radio show because he got into it with me. But people told him, hey, man, who are you? You know, I mean, you know, you don't do that. You don't cut somebody off. It's just like this one girl, Josie or whatever her name was. She was doing the Leonard Peltier march in L.A., you know, and she even asked Clyde to go. And I heard it. Clyde said he'd go. Yeah, he's going to be there. As soon as Clyde got off that radio, wasn't this radio show. Clyde never come on this one. As soon as he got off, right away, his people, hey, you going over there? No, Josie's not in AIM. That ain't an AIM event. Rah, rah, rah. Wow. You see what I'm saying? Leonard Peltier is a member of American Indian Movement. Anything involving his freedom is American Indian Movement. So why are they trying to sabotage her effort to represent a Leonard Peltier march someplace? And they did. These guys. After that, I cut them all loose. I didn't look up to them no more. When I first met them, I was trying to give them all kinds of credit. But when I seen how they operate, I said, man, I'm glad they don't come around here no more. I don't want them around here. A bunch of rats, snitches, and cop supporters and American flag supporters. Don't need that. You know, we need people to stand with the people, not to stand against the people. When you stand with the law, with the government and everything else, you're standing against the people. We don't need that, you know, because the government, that's what you're talking about. What you're representing here, Philip, is something that is always attacking us from one angle or another. And Juniper, Florida, whether anybody likes it or not, that's Indian land too.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they have a lot of things going on.
Go ahead. I thought it was really great that during the shouting match, Sheridan Murphy had told that city council, you think this is over? It's not over. Wait until you get the construction vehicles there. So he's already threatening them and telling them, you know, there's going to be some problems if you bring in these construction vehicles. So, I mean, this fight isn't over. It could possibly get very, very nasty very fast.
Well, they need to show something nasty. Hate that word, you know, but I don't mean show it really nasty, but you know, they need to get vicious, you know what I mean? They need to sometimes, like I said, activism is the only way to really do something, you know? It's not like you hear these Washitu say, we need to grab arms and go after them, you know? We're not saying arms. We need to just go and show that we don't like it. You know?
Yeah.
That ain't right. You know, you don't belong here anyway. Get your ass over there. But since you're here, at least respect. You know, at least respect the freedoms and of what the normal, simple people stand for. Because you hear me always talking about Washichu, you know, this and that. But in general, there's a difference. Because common people, no matter what culture they are, European, African, Asian, us, and others, we're all the same when it comes down to just living, you know? I mean, I see them growing gardens, you know, and Germans, the Europeans growing gardens, and, you know, raising animals. I see different people in different cultures doing things to keep the earth going. And then you get people like that showing up, one is showing up with some trucks to tear it up. What do they call that? Progress and all that, you know, a progress. I said progress, yeah. Progress. You know, so, yeah, that's good that you mentioned it. And I hope, like, it will get bigger. It will turn nasty, if you want to call it that. It will turn nasty because you're getting the word out. If they don't get the word out, it ain't going to get that way. It needs to go to many ears and many concerned people because it don't stop in Juniper. It keeps going. It goes on and on and on to every place. No.
And I think this is a perfect example of what I've been telling people that, you know, these things have, it's not just Ohio that these things are happening in. Here's a perfect example of it happens in another state, not just Ohio that has people doing this stuff. It's also, you know, Florida, South Dakota, wherever, you know, that they keep doing this to our ancestors, you know. It's disgusting.
They don't care about us, but they sure get mad if we go over there.
Yep. If we were digging up their ancestors, it'd be a different story.
It'd be a big charge, you know? You know? And, you know, people, common people need to learn there is a difference. You know, it's not all about American. They need to keep that in mind. If you want to be a member of humanity, of the human race, then you're not American. You know?
Yep.
Remember that. The human race is meant to work together. We're meant to serve our purposes, and we're not meant to impose on each other and try to change each other, and we're not meant to go over there and destroy each other and go in foreign lands and destroy and make it the way you want. Juniper, Florida is Indian land. It's not Europe. You know, and it also, it's Unshimaka, you know, it's not for them. It's for the world. Because in all rights, when you think of Crazy Horse, you know, and our Lakota leaders, they said, man don't sell the earth we walk on. And the same, that also means you don't buy the earth we walk on. You know, we live on it. We live on it. And nobody should be coming over destroying our sacred sites, especially burial grounds and all that. You know, I think about how come they didn't find DNA of Lakota. That's why they're so stupid. They think that we didn't exist before 10,000 years ago because they can't find no proof of it. The reason why they can't find proof of it, and I'll let all you idiots know about it out there, you know, we didn't bury our people like that. We put our people, we sent them back. They left and became the elements again, their body. Their soul travels on. Their body become elements. So you ain't going to find it buried in a tomb someplace. Because our great chiefs, our great medicine men, greater than Jesus Christ or Buddha and all them, you're never going to find them because they go back. We all go back to the elements, you know. I don't like this modern way. I don't like them burying me under the ground 6 feet, and I don't want them burning me in no furnace, you know, but that's the only thing they can think of. They're a brilliant race of people, but that's all they can think of. You know what I mean? And all they can think of is to destroy stuff, bring in the tractors, bring in the earth movers, bring in the dynamite. We can live without that. Yeah. But I'm glad you mentioned that. And I hope, you know, I wish more of you would jump in and say something. At least give a shout out. You know, Jennifer, you're here. Wayne, while you had put in. But you can give 5 cents instead of 2 cents. Put your 5 cents in. You know, about anything. We got a few minutes. You got about anything. Let's roll with it.
Hey,
you
know? Wombly. Hey, it's Wayne here. Listen, last week I wanted to mention that about the Cherokee Artist Recovery Act. You know, it's the tribe actually passed a law over in October 2022 for artist recovery improvement because of the pandemic and how many artists lost money during the pandemic itself. So I was just thinking about that, and to your friend over there or the guy you know over in Rapid City who's complaining about, you know, why did they throw red paint on the statues' faces or whatever, perhaps maybe he can head over and Google or look it up about the Artist Recovery Act, and maybe he can go over to the tribe or who he's affiliated with, or maybe go over to his city that he wants to, you know, intermingle with over in Rapid City to their officials and probably start something up himself rather than complaining about, you know, some vandalism on colonial press of statues itself. So maybe he gets himself a little bit of constructive idea compared to what one tribe's doing. He can probably adapt, you know, a similar format itself and be a little constructive rather than trying to, you know, defend the Wachichu statues.
Yeah, that's something, you know. That's something, you know, like some of the things. You know, it comes down to we're human too. So sometimes, like in this case, he said, I follow the law, he said. You know, I follow the law. You know, but if you're talking about American law, that's criminal law. That's criminal stuff. You know, I don't follow their law. I follow the law of humanity. Humanity. I don't follow the law of dropping bombs on people, killing people, incarcerated people, executed people. I don't do that, you know. But the real law, you know, is of humanity, and that's not American law. And when I see Indians or natives breaking away just for a second to go support Arbitas, it makes me remember them from that time on out. I love to see our people standing for justice of humanity. And when they go the other way, I don't forget it. And, sir, it's no big important thing because I'm nobody. But just me, myself, I tell you, you know, I never think of them highly again after that. And I'm sure there's other people think the same. So I try to tell our people, stand on the right side of humanity, not American law. Because look like what he said. That's a crime, what they're doing down there in Juniper, Florida. That's a crime. And unbelievable that they even do that, you know. So, but yeah, go on. Anybody else want to say anything, you know? And I like that what you said about that, Wayne, you know. You know, there, you know,
anytime,
that's a good
man.
Point. You know, and the thing about it is we have to, as, let's say, as humans, as member of this race that Wakan Tonka created us all to be, as human, to protect the earth, you know, protect the water, protect everything. And don't be fighting. Don't be over there bombing other countries in the name of us, you know. Don't be bombing somebody and saying, we're American, calling me an American because I have to have an American driver's license, because I have to have an American passport, because I have to live over here in my own land that you already destroyed the name, your name of it, you know. What if America named this country something else? But they never bombed nobody. They never hurt nobody. They were just good people. I might have went along with it. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know? But I don't go along with this because every time I turn around, they're bombing somebody, they're destroying somebody, or they're in the news for doing something, you know, for hurting people, you know, for everything they do, you know? It's just, it's crazy. How can you support a government called America or USA when you turn around, you're bombing people, when your leaders are doing stuff? Like, they always got this Hunter Biden on the news. And I know what he did. He hung out over there in the Ukraine and became one of them, you know, and for the money, for, like you're talking, the pipe, the gas, the fuel, and everything. That's wicked, you know. all the stuff they say, you know, like this career criminal Florida busted for murder, 12-year-old girl, a white guy killing white people, you know. If you look on the news, all they do is kill, 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 steal, steal, steal. And then at the same time got nerve to complain about the border, you know. You know, fooey with that. But, you know, I appreciate all those who tune in and hope that you all keep in mind that humanity, Walker Tonka, when he made us all, including all the other relatives, he put us here to serve, to keep the grass green, to keep the rivers flowing, for fruit to keep dropping off the trees, for everything, the grapes, the pears, the oranges, everything, you know. And with that, you know, I want you all to know that our prayers are important. And keep in mind, tonight when you go to bed, all of you, or some of you that's over there and it's daylight morning already, and that there's people praying for you. There's people praying for humanity right now, praying for the water, for the earth, because they're sacrificing water right now. They're sacrificing food. They're fasting. They're praying for Unshimaka right now. Go there and help them, you know. And thank you, Philip. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank Wayne. Thank everybody who's tuned in. Even you. What's your name? Jay. I'm just going to call you JG. JG. Thank you for being so persistent, you know, and thank you for supporting the American Indian Movement podcast or whatever you want to call it. Thank you for trying your best to squeeze in here, get an elbow in, trying your best, you know. And I hope you're learning something from us old poor Indians over here. I hope you respect us. I hope you appreciate us. You must, or you wouldn't be over here so much, you know. Hey, tell JG hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello, JG.
JG.
See, we're giving,
thank you,
giving you a shout out. All right. Wastelo. Doksha. We're going to go, and thank you so much for being here, and pray for Rimber. He'll be back when he gets done on this praying for all of us. And thank you so much.
You know, your son should die at all. Suffering to be done.
Are you tired? Is it sleepy time? You have a good night, mate.
Good morning.